If you enjoy these episodes, please consider donating to help keep this podcast going by clicking on the link in the description of this episode. Also, please give the podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends and family. Saturday, April 5th. The first reading from Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. I knew their plot because the Lord informed me. At that time you, O Lord, showed me their doings. Yet I, like a trusting lamb led to slaughter, had not realized that they were hatching plots against me. Let us destroy the tree in its vigor. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will be spoken no more. But you, O Lord of hosts, O just judge, searcher of mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them, for to you I have entrusted my cause. Haydock Commentary. All Christians explain these verses as being of Jesus Christ, whom Jeremiah prefigured in his suffering. St. Jerome says, let us follow the rule which shows that all the prophets did most things for a type of our Lord and Savior, and what was now done by Jeremiah foreshowed what would happen to our Lord. The Gospel from John chapter 7, verses 40 through 53. Some in the crowd who heard these words of Jesus said, this is truly the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But others said, the Christ will not come from Galilee, will he? Does not Scripture say that the Christ will be of David's family and come from Bethlehem, the village where David lived? So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them even wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So the guards went to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, why did you not bring him? The guards answered, never before has anyone spoken like this man. So the Pharisees answered them, have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd which does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, one of their members who had come to him earlier, said to them, does our law condemn a man before it first hears him and finds out what he is doing? They answered and said to him, you are not from Galilee also, are you? Look and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. Then each went to his own house. From the Haydock Commentary and the Great Commentary by Father Cornelius a Lapide. St. Augustine says, a prophet does not come from Galilee, but the Lord of the prophets does. The officers said, never before has anyone spoken like this man, because he was God-man, and therefore he teaches not with human, but divine grace, power, efficacy, and majesty. Notice here the force of Christ's words, his authority and dignity, which astounded these officers, who, though willing, were not able to take him, nay, were obliged to love, reverence, and honor him, and to profess as much to their masters, though most hostile to Christ. St. Cyril says, this proves how rash and weak it is to fight against Christ. St. John Chrysostom says, they might certainly have excused themselves by saying, we dared not take him, lest we should rouse to sedition against ourselves the multitude who favored him. Why sent ye us to seize so great a teacher? We have been captivated by the power of his words, and ye, if ye had heard him yourselves, would have been captivated also. They spoke not to please their masters, but to witness to the truth. Such is the power of truth. It is therefore probable that many of them were afterwards fully converted to Christ at Pentecost. A commentary on this passage says, they were laudably led astray in passing over to the faith from the evil of unbelief. St. Cyril supposes that they suspected him to be God. How then could we take him who is as far above us as God is above man? The Pharisees therefore answered, are ye also deceived? They were Christ's implacable enemies. When they ought to have felt compunction and to change their opinion, says St. John Chrysostom, they accused the officers. But they ought to have asked what there was so wonderful in Jesus' words. But they took care not to do that by their blind and obstinate hatred against him. St. Cyril has the Pharisees saying, we may pardon the multitude for being deceived, but how could ye, who are our officers, and infected with the same incredulity with ourselves, how could you be so quickly led astray as to believe in him? The Pharisees respond, have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him? Therefore he is not the Christ. This is an argument from authority, but yet a fallacy, for these rulers and Pharisees were the sworn enemies of Christ because he reproved their sins. But yet some of the rulers secretly believed in him, as Nicodemus. St. Augustine says, they who knew not the law believed on him who had sent the law, and they who taught the law despised him who had sent it, that the saying might be fulfilled, I am come that they which see not may see, and that they which see might be made blind. St. Cyril says, wise men by boasting become fools, for while they profess that they know the law, they accuse themselves of unbelief and of ignorance also in not acknowledging Christ who was promised by the law and who then stood before them. Nicodemus accuses his colleagues of being the violators of both laws, but he does so in a quiet way for fear of their anger. For as St. Augustine says, he hoped if they would only hear him patiently, they would become like those officers who were sent to take Christ but preferred to believe on him. And St. Cyril says that Nicodemus said this as pricked by his conscience. Still laboring under a fatal bashfulness and not combining boldness of speech with his zeal, he exposes not to view the faith which was inherent in him, but vesting himself in a cloak of simulation, he was a kind of secret defender of Christ. Though it is the duty of believers without fear or shame to profess the true faith, as St. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16.